You said earlier in the episode, like, it's already making history just on the front of having an African-American mermaid on screen, you know, which is, you know, which in of itself doesn't necessarily meet, like, that's what you originally strive for, because what you ultimately strive for is, as a filmmaker, is for a good story and what to tell a good story through. And it was none better than Ursley herself and Layla playing Ursley. It just kind of like, it's like, I know you're not a comic book fan, but it's like the Justice League forming together for the first time and the powers aligned in terms of like collaborations between Kelly and Roxy and cast and even lighting and electric, you know, like all of that. It's like the meeting of the minds just collaborated together, and we formed a product that was so special only for us and for you, Christine, that everybody else can now be invited to enjoy as well.
We are the
Get Realisms Podcast.
I am Madam Chase Reddy.
And I am Christine Chen. And surprise, we're both filmmakers.
We get into it by sharing secrets, advice, and gossip in filmmaking.
And we even get our other filmmaking friends to share theirs too.
So please, everybody, join us for
an ode to filmmaking.
Jesus.
In this season, we get into Christine's feature-length thriller fantasy, Ursley.
A small idea that made a killer swamp mermaid a reality.
Let's do it.
My goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a hostful goodness. Just the two of us, Christine and I, just the two of us here.
Just the two of us.
On the Get Realisms podcast, episode 88.
Really? 88?
We are at 88, Christine. My name is Adam Chase Rennie.
My name is still Christine Chen.
And we're still in one piece. Look at that. We're here. Christine is here. She's you look actually well rested, Christine. You look I don't know if that's true. You look like you got some rest, but I know that's probably not the case, right?
I'm probably like look awake because I just assisted in changing out my brakes, car brakes, all four of them. I know how to do it now. I have grease in my hands. Hi, mermaid mammy.
Is it easy to change car brakes? I've never done that before.
It's actually,
I don't know cars.
Not as hard as I thought it would be. It requires some equipment that I wouldn't have, but combined with two men, I'm currently at my friend Darren's house, which we borrowed his driveway. And then my former, Carl told me I'm not allowed to call him my former roommate. I'm supposed to call him, I'm his parole officer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm his parole officer. He helped me change Alex's brakes as well. So hello guys.
Well, shout out to Carl. We love him.
Yeah.
Friend of the podcast. So Christine, what happened to all of the pre-orders, I wonder, with Ursley? Should we just get into it or you want to segue?
Yeah, we should get into it. Yes.
Take it away, Christine.
First things first, big thank you to the mermaid community. Like, huge.
Oh my gosh, the last episode, the most engagement in an episode ever for Get Realisms. Thank you so much, mermaid community. You're really mensch. Like, you're awesome people. We love you.
Yeah, you guys killed it, and we reached our 250 goal. Our Apple iTunes pre-sales, which is very exciting for us.
Yes, everybody.
So hopefully what that means is that the moment it launches, we're going to be on their splash page, on their featured page. I wish it was like they say 250 is the minimum, and then like they go 250 plus. So I don't know what that means. It's all mirrors, it feels like.
Well, so let's go to the moon with this, everybody.
It, so. Yeah.
Let's keep jacking those pre-orders. You know, let's keep doing those pre-orders. We're still not done. We want to be the front splash page.
We
want to
be front. Yeah. And the good thing is, like, Gravitas just dropped they're doing a flash sale as well to make it so that's obvious, so that we can encourage people. So it's now half off. So it's $6.99. Today is literally the last day. It becomes not $6.99, becomes $12.99 tomorrow. So go and rush by Urzel. So on it's iTunes and Apple TV. It's also currently on Amazon as well. But Amazon, it's $19.99 actually.
Yeah.
So it's cheaper on iTunes. And it's also still now as well. I've bought my movie on Amazon and on Apple TV and iTunes.
Yeah. No, there's no shame. I mean, I bought it too, you know. We're all in this.
All my movie tickets to my movies multiple times.
Through all the events, really? Mm-hmm. Fucking yeah, A.
That's the way that the venues are able to, like, make money. So, yeah. Yeah, I've paid for my ticket to the Limley 3 times, plus all the other actors' tickets as well.
Yeah. Okay, well, the screenings, yeah, I guess I can understand. I'm thinking of the events. It's just like, you were...
Oh,
you
the were events? The... Yeah, no, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, those that I hosted, those are different. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I mean, about, like, I know. Yeah, I know a lot of people who pay money to see their own movie. That's a, I mean, there's something beautiful, but also like jarring about that.
Yeah.
You know. But also, like, yeah. I would love to just participate, just to see audience reaction, just to every single beat in the film.
Yeah.
You know. So
that's great. Yeah.
I bet you're stoked.
So we reached it. I'm stoked. I'm happy that, like, when we reached 250, I was like, okay, thank God. I know I've been have had to bother multiple people messaging them, be like, please buy the film.
Right.
It's so tiring to do that, but I'm glad that it all worked and that, like, the mermaid, all the people we've met, the merfolk community and stuff, have all kind of gathered together and made this huge big push. Yesterday, I don't know if you saw, but Merman Tempest, I shared it on all my stories and stuff, but Merman Andy and Tempest both did this really funny IG reel that's like, girl, have you heard of Urza?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. So if you guys could go check out Merman Andy's IG, you can watch it. It's hilarious.
But it's on the Urzley Instagram, right?
Or it's on the story. Their Instagram, and then I reshared it.
Yeah.
I reshared it to my story.
You reshared it. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're pushing the June 14th watch party. So that's where we're trying to encourage everybody to host their own parties. Hashtag Urzley Watch Party on June 14th, which is the day it drops on all platforms. All streaming platforms. So it's I know you can do it on Amazon right now, but, like, I guess there's Voodoo and some other stuff. So yeah, it's pretty exciting.
I'm so stoked, dude. Yeah. I was gonna ask you, is it like, how are you dealing with all this in the aftermath of, I mean, you're still doing these events. It's still going and strong.
Yeah.
By the way, everybody, get your tickets right now, urzleyfilm.com, get your tickets now. But how is it that you are 2 days away, essentially 48 hours away from your film? Just, it's now for every, it's not your film anymore, Christine. It's now everybody's film.
Yeah, it's no longer, it's the people's film.
Yeah.
Movies for the people.
That's right.
It's a relief, honestly. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. And I don't know how much more I have left to give without taking a very long break. I've been doing everything I've possibly can, and to try to push and let people know about the film, and I'm exhausted. So it's nice to know that it's a relief to be like, well, like I've done the best, we've done the best that we can to get the film out there. And now it's got to have its own life, you know? So like, you know, your parents, right? So, you know, I have groomed it and I've given it the best education it could afford and told everybody about, you know, gave it a good resume, put it out there, and it's the best I could do. And I'm just happy that it's going to be available for people to watch, and hopefully people will enjoy it and like want to watch it over and over again. So, but it's, we've done the best that we can, and I think I'm just happy that it's going to have a life on its own now, and it's not just us like pushing it, you know. So yeah, I'm relieved. I still have 3 more cities to go.
Yeah,
but it's winding down. I drive on Tuesday towards Miami. My itinerary is I'll stop in Clinton, Mississippi, because that's where Megan Colvin, one of our executive producers, lives. Mm. And I get, that's also kind of a halfway point. And then the next day I stop in Orlando, and then on the 16th, I will make it into, I think it's Homestead, Florida. Yeah. So it's not Miami. It's a good hour and a half below Miami, actually. So
the 16th,
for the Afro, 18th. Yeah, for the Afro-Made convention. And it's pretty cool because there, a lot of things are aligning perfectly and coincidentally on some major environmental and social political dates. And this has just been extremely coincidental. For example, June 14th is a full moon, apparently. It's the June 14th is the full moon of this Sagittarius. So I thought that's so fitting that our that film has been released on June 14th, the full moon. It's great. So many of the scenes were shot during a full moon as well. So that's fun. When I was in Shreveport, our screening was the week kicking off Shreveport Pride month, which was really cool. So the day before, it was field day was the event, but it was to celebrate our LGBTQIA community. So that was neat that happened that way. And then at the Afro Mermaid Summit in Hempstead, Florida, or Miami, whatever you want to call it, our film plays on the 19th of June. And if people know what the 19th of June is important for, it is, oh, it's Christine. Hi, Christine. I'm in your office. the 19th of June is Juneteenth, which is amazing because Juneteenth, we're celebrating with the first African-American, first Black mermaid film on Juneteenth. And I think that's very, very,
that is very,
very fitting.
Yeah, that's very fitting. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're
watching it the way that I kind of wanted it to be from the start, which was in the water. So we're screening it at the Blue Lagoon Farm, which is this lagoon, and people are going to be in their mermaid tails and watching the film outside on the screen in water, tubes and stuff like that. Without like it being in a small ass cramped pool, you know, it's a huge ass, like a Jaws in the Water type feel space. So
that's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
That's an experience, yeah, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. So Juneteenth, that was a coincidence. Like that worked out perfectly. And then the following week I drive back towards LA. And I land in, I can see, yes, I land in LA on the 23rd. Yay, Chicago. Yeah, she went, Christine, my really good friends that we shot the film in their pool. She's in Chicago and I'm in her office.
Fun.
So I land on the 23rd in LA. Mm-hmm. I sleep in my own bed for one night. And then I fly. Thank God I fly instead of, but I fly the 24th directly to Seattle, Washington, where I will take a car, a rental car from there, and drive down to the coast to Aberdeen, Washington, which is where the International Mermaid Museum is. And then we are screening there the 24th and the 25th. It's very special because this is where, this is the last stop for the Mermaid Tale. The Mermaid Tale is permanently on exhibition at the International Mermaid Museum. And it's not going with us to Portland. It's staying where it we're at until sequels. So this is, that's, it's permanent home now.
So that's awesome.
So that's going to be really cool. And then I have a month of break until July, the end of July.
For Oregon, right?
Oregon, Portlandia Mermaid Parade. So it's almost there. Almost there. I feel like I've ran a marathon, or I'm still running a marathon. I'm at the last like 2 miles.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet, dude. Like, you're stretched from both sides. Christine Shark Float from opening scene display on our pool. Yeah, Christine
Float. Yeah, it is.
It is. I saw the flamingo pass by, you know, a couple times
in the background.
Yeah, I'm like, well, it's shark fitting. Float. We're still in Ursula. And you know what? Like, we've done 88 episodes, and I kind of like went back through like a lot of these episodes, and it's so fascinating how like
where we were mentally,
yeah, the ups and the downs,
and process wise,
the moments that we were on, one of us were tired and then the other was exhausted the next episode, you know.
I really enjoy listening back because it's like a little mini diary of where we were at that moment for the making of the film. And if anybody wants to see the mental health component of where we were during the making, the entirety of the making of Ursula, you just need to literally listen to this podcast, because it goes from us having the script, us raising the money, us not having the money, you know, raising the money, getting the money, holy shit, gotta make the film, on set, making the film, tired as F, you know, coming back, and I'm like, then I'm complaining about the editing and how I'm tired of it, and like, it's pretty nuts. It's a fun, it's been a fun learning journey, but and we're back to one. This is the one of the locations of filming right here. This pool right there is where we shot so much of the underwater scenes.
But
for Ursula,
how awesome it was shot, nobody would ever know. Nobody, it would be like we shot in a soundstage pool, high budget.
Totally. So high of a budget.
No, but it looked good. It looked great, you know? So yeah,
It looked good.
That's a pat on the back, man, you know? You could have easily made that shit look horrible, you know, but you didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't. So, yeah, man. Like it's
flamingo.
I know. It's so funny. Like every time you talk, I just see it go back and forth. This like in the
back and forth.
It's just like it's got
like a creeper in the background.
I wish that was like your studio, so you can just have everything floaties, just like every single floatie just in back, the film, just going back and
going
forth.
Back and forth. Oh yeah, awesome. It would make for very funny, hilarious. In the next one, it'll be like a floaty, like it's on there, star.
Yeah, exactly. See, we're already thinking ahead. Yeah, it's been great like listening to these episodes, because like I've never quite realize beginning this podcast, even with Fun Employment Podcast before Get Realisms was a thing, it sort of like felt like, I don't know, like it felt like it was fun doing it for sure, especially doing it with you and but doing this podcast with Ursley like front and center and doing this podcast just for us to just like hang out and talk about, document, you know,
yeah,
and just basically document everything has been a fucking trip, man. It's been really fucking cool hearing and seeing all of this stuff, you know, even my stupid ramblings of nothing, like it still plays into, you know, our moments in history of making Ursula, yeah, and stuff like
making that, of, and the thing is like right now we're in the moment when we've made, yeah, yet another film after Ursula, it's going to be a whole thing because then we can look back and the value of what we've done in the past for Ursula is going to just increase even more because we're like, oh, look at us idiots being so not like, remember when it was really exciting when like we saw our film for the first time in a movie, yeah, theater, and now like 10 years later we've seen like 5 of our films in the movie theater, we're just right, like, oh, another film in the movie theater, you know, like it's just,
yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, this, I like looking at this flamingo.
Yeah, no, I love it too.
It's really cute. So yeah, no, I think that's the fun part is that I've enjoyed going back and listening, being like, oh, I was on that set, and oh, I'm calling, yeah, in from Virginia, I'm calling in from a dorm room. Yeah, it's been fun going back and seeing where I was is in such a short period of time, you know, and then with Ursley and seeing like I was on set and I was clearly still like in the middle of like editing Ursley still, but like I was doing a podcast from, yeah, a different location. Like this is very nostalgic, that's for sure. So
it is.
So it's even more exciting to know, like, because we don't know what's going to happen. Like June 14th, who knows, you know? The hope is that all of this momentum that we've been trying to correct and continue from our events, from all the freaking social posts I've had to make, will be enough to tip over. They call it the tipping point when something has reached mass, critical mass.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows the momentum is able to continue to move without you anymore. And that is what we are hopeful for. But that really relies on everybody else to love the film enough to want to push it, or to love us enough,
yeah,
to want to push it, you know?
Right. So, and that's the... Go ahead. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
No. So we'll see. It's,
yeah,
scary. And the world is our oyster. Hello, Glitterito. Albert. He's the one that created this awesome fan that's in my in the prop box right now. But it opens and says Ursley on it. It makes me,
oh,
very happy.
Fuck yeah. That's awesome.
Yes. It's awesome. So hello. Yeah, he they drove all the way from San Diego to Hawaii. Yeah,
wow.
It was very, very special. Full on, like, coolest costumes ever. I can't wait to see what your watch parties are going to be like. I know Andy and Tempest are coming up with something crazy. I want to know what you guys are coming up with. I just want to see. You guys really know how to dress up. So yeah, June 14th, take lots of photos. Hashtag Ursley watch party. We want to see it. We want to know that like this film is going to live beyond us. Yeah, that's my biggest.
And it will stand against the test of time forever.
Test of time. Oh, how dramatic is that? I love it.
That's what we're about, baby. Yes. Let's go.
Yes. Stand the test of time. Yeah.
And I think it will, because not, I mean, like you said earlier in the episode, like it's already making history just on the front of having an African-American mermaid on screen, you know, which is, you know, which in of itself doesn't necessarily mean like that's what you originally strive for, because what you ultimately strive for is, as a filmmaker, is for a good story and what to tell a good story through. And it was none better than Ursula herself and Layla playing Ursula. It just kind of like it's like I know you're not a comic book fan, but it's like the Justice League forming together for the first time and the powers aligned in terms of like collaborations between Kelly and Roxy and cast and even lighting and electric, you know, like all of that. It's like the meeting of the minds just collaborated together, and we formed a product that was so special only for us and for you, Christine, that everybody else can now be invited to enjoy as well. And that's fucking
Captain
awesome.
Planet, our powers combined.
Exactly. I'm Captain Planet is too old for me, so I don't know Captain.
Ow. Yeah. I'm there now, huh?
You know I'm joking, Christine. You know I'm joking. These are all jokes. Dude, I watch He-Man. You know, I watch reruns of He-Man. You know, I love that shit. But I don't know, man. Like, I think it's something to be proud of, but also to I don't know, to just like kind of like have this like memory forever ingrained. And also too, we're the only ones who know what took place behind the scenes, you know, and that was half the fun, or probably just as fun, just with the story itself too, of how fun the story is and how communicative you would want to experience this film with. Like, you want to watch this film with other people. It's a party. It kind of felt the same way. Granted, there were days we were stressed, and there was, you know, days where we were kind of like stressed out beyond belief, but we still knew how to party at the end of the day and still have fun, you know?
I think that was the nicest thing, was that, like, despite how stressed out any of us would be, at the end, we were still happy to hang out with each other. That doesn't happen all the time on most sets. Most of the times, it's like, let me get away from these people as fast as I possibly can.
I'll talk to you at the wrap party. Like,
don't talk to me right now.
Yeah.
Next place I want to see you is maybe wrap party.
Yeah.
You know? And so, cool to that, despite being so stressed out on set, we still wanted to hang out with each other. We still continue to. Kelly and I hung out not too long ago. Camille and I hang out all the time. Mm-hmm. And, I mean,
we saw each other at the events, you know, and I still work with Kelly. We do art together. So, you know, she's like my older sister. It feels like I always see her. You know, I'll always see her no matter what, you know.
Right.
I enjoy this shit, you know, and if I can work with y'all for the rest of my life, fuck it, I'm happy. You know,
that's the dream though.
Yeah,
that's the dream, that we'll all get to just make movies with our friends for life. Yeah. That's the hope.
And we got to make a pact now.
We're doing that.
Yeah, we got to make a pact now. We're never going to retire. I'm kidding. never.
That's already my plan. I don't want to retire. I don't know why. I'm doing what I absolutely love to do.
Well, I mean,
I'll need a week or two here to go on vacation, maybe, so I don't lose my mind.
Exactly. But,
other than that, like, I love being on films.
That's the thing. I feel like if you're doing something creative, or at least in the field of something that you're passionate about, it's hard to even determine or even think about the longevity of retirement. You know what I mean? Like, you're enjoying the shit that you're doing right now. Why the fuck should I be worried about my retirement coming fucking, you know, not even like 10 years from now, you know? It's like, it's so far off. But that's the thing, though. Like, people who work regular jobs, you know, and God bless you, take care. We love regular working jobs. But you sort of plan for retirement nonetheless. Like, you got a 401k starting. You got, you know, fucking like a whole thing you're setting up, another fund or a vacation fund, you know, like, because people are just yearning to the day that they can just say, peace out, fuckers. I'm out, you know? Whereas in this industry, yeah, in the field that we work in, I mean, doing this for the rest of my life doesn't sound bad.
No, not at all. It sounds lovely.
Yeah. Spielberg is almost, how old is Spielberg now?
He is
in production of 4 more films in the next 3 years. Like, I mean, the guy is never gonna stop. He's 75 years old, ladies and gentlemen, and he's still making movies.
Yeah.
You kind of like understand that, like, this is a passion, right? Because there's not a lot of people you can say that is like, oh yeah, no, I'm willing to take another trip around the sun. I mean, he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 films in pre-production and announced for the next 6 years. Spielberg, if you're telling me that Spielberg doesn't like his job, I feel like you're lying to me. Like, that's insanity. Like, nobody in their right mind would do this shit and be like, yeah, I mean, filmmaking's okay. You know, that's fucking crazy. We love this shit. We live, eat, and breathe this shit, you know?
Yes, we do. We love it. And then, like, it's not, we love the entire process. Someone asked me on a podcast not too long ago, like, what was it that you, what do you like? And I was like, it's not just like one bit or whatever. It's the entire freaking process. The question was, how does it feel going through the entire process and getting to where you are right now? And it's unreal. I guess the closest I can think of, I might get in trouble for saying this, is, you know, I don't have a kid, but this is like having raising a child, you know.
Absolutely. Different.
But you see the baby and you see it grow up and change and morph and everything, and it comes a time when you send it to college and it does what it's going to do and you have no control over it. But in the meantime, you do everything that you possibly can to make sure that it's successful, right?
Mm-hmm.
It has everything that it needs to be successful. So,
yeah, I mean,
it's been like just this process of going, watching my film in every single theater that it plays, like, is fun. You know, I'm learning about my audience. I'm hearing their reactions, and, you know, I'm learning based off of that. You know, so, but yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait to see what it does at the Afro Mermaid Summit in Miami, because it's a different audience again, and even, you know, more, even just as special. But, you know, this is the first Black Mermaid film, and it's playing at a Black Mermaid Summit. Like, that's pretty badass on Juneteenth.
Fucking rad.
Of all days, you know.
Yes.
So I just hope that we honored the community and so many people who have watched it, that's been their biggest takeaway. It's been like, hey, you not only did service to the merfolk community, but the other big thing is that, like, you treated a lot of these cultures with respect, and that's what we wanted to do. Like, in Shreveport, when Mama B, the voodoo priestess, cried and told us that it was such a beautiful representation of her culture and that she wished there was more stuff like that. Like, and then when Leela mentions how she never gets any roles like this, you know, that's meaty, and that she's strong. And I mean, and somebody else pointed, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but not a single Black person dies in our film. I mean, token Black person dies. Like, that's right. Not common.
You didn't fall into the typical horror film tropes. Yeah.
Yeah. And our three leads are, we have four, like, major roles are all, you know, Black awesome actors, you know. The scene that I think gets people a lot is when the three generations are together. That's really pretty to see on screen, I think. But
oh yeah,
I cannot wait to see how each screening is different. Austin, it was our friends, right? People who've been with us in the industry and you know, knew us. Same with so it was a different
Louisiana
kind of feeling.
Too, I bet.
Louisiana was the same. Yeah. New Orleans was the first time where we were starting to like stray from that and get other people and stuff. Sacramento was our absolute biggest test. We knew nobody there. And it was a community that we were making the film for. And it was it could have been awful, but it was great. And thank you so much, Krisha. The community loved it and fell in love with it. And we came out, it went starting from like, this could be really disastrous and everything was falling apart to like, this was one of the best weekends we've had, you know, because the community embraced us. And then now I'm going to yet another Merfolk community, but Black Mermaid, Afro Mermaid Summit, which is even bigger in its meaning because of what it means for cinema and the fact that, there are not roles like that they're few and far between. And this is literally the first Black Mermaid film, like intentional to be a Black Mermaid, not because we casted somebody that happens to be Black or the Little Mermaid is what it was.
Yeah.
Like this was written with the intention that we wanted a Black mermaid, you know. It would not have worked without a Black mermaid.
Right.
And so I'm just excited to see what the folks at Afro Mermaid Summit think after they watch.
And I think people even too who are you know, I mean, quote unquote cinemaphiles would also appreciate this film because it feels like and I've only seen this film a couple of times, you know, I've seen the rough and I saw the very final, which is my favorite cut of all.
So I'm glad. Thank God.
Well, because I told you, even at the event, the sound is just fucking awesome. Like, it's so, I mean, once you guys hear this, it's just like, the soundtrack's phenomenal. The sound effects, too, with everything between the fight scenes to just ambiance, too. Just like hearing that subtle cricket noise that doesn't overpower the fucking dialogue and shit. Like, it's nice. So people who are going to be, you know, I hate to say it, judgmental of films, which, I mean, you shouldn't be in the first place. But, you know, we all judge films, you know, from time to time. And I feel like even big cinemaphiles would appreciate this film just on the justification that every single scene in every piece of prop and everything that goes into the film not only plays, but has a part in the film. So nothing's ever unplayed. There's always a purpose with every single scene and every single piece. Not to belittle other filmmakers who don't do that, but there are filmmakers who don't do that. They have justifiably scenes that are just filler. Gratuitous. It's just exposition. Very gratuitous.
Every single thing made it into this.
It's so tight.
On screen.
It's everything plays. everything, you know?
I don't know if I told you, I told Kelly, but the product designers, art department from a film that I worked on in LA called Shaky Shivers came to support and watch, and they could not speak highly enough. They were freaking out about the art. They were
I wish Kelly and Reese were here. I mean,
everything was amazing. Every frame, we were like, look at that, look at that. I felt from the art, another art department to your art department, that's probably the best compliment that you probably could get.
Oh yeah. That
they kept asking, like, can we work with them? Are they in LA? Like
what?
They were floored by what you guys did. They were like the
Kelly Reese, so I'm sending this episode to you. God damn it. This is your time to shine, everybody. I'm taking that too, man. That's awesome. That's fucking rad.
Yeah, that's me how big, and I was like, it's like for the most part, it was a 3-person team for art. Sometimes, would you count? Yeah. Hannah was in the shadows, so like maybe 4, but it was you, Kelly. Oh, sorry, 4 if we count Camille. She would here and there dabble around.
Right.
Yeah, so 4. Yeah, so it's 4, I think.
It was, me, Reese. Yeah.
So,
it was the greatest fucking time, you know, like especially helping out Reese just a little that I could put in and stuff, and you know, set up like the pool and whatnot, like all that stuff is just like it's all great, and it's like you can just sort of like express that little bit of creativity control that you can put in into the film, and I like that's fucking awesome. And Reese with his fucking insanely awesome, beautiful signs and shit like that. And he can write in cursive just beautifully. I mean, it's just like, come on. And Hannah too. Yeah. Like,
it's been fun showing the props. I bring the props with me on the tour. Part of the reason why I can't fly is because I have all this stuff I have to bring. But when people see it, they get very excited and they see the tail and they want to touch it. And then they see like, oh, wow, the scroll. Everybody wants the scroll. Everybody's like, the scroll is so beautiful.
And I can't think of a proper goodbye for a very special piece of history in Ursley than the tail be inducted into a mermaid museum. Like, how fucking rad is that, dude?
That's
like,
pretty cool.
How fucking awesome. If you think that the film isn't going to be cemented in history, well, you're going to have a whole fucking tale cemented into history. Like, that's just like, I don't know. Like, that should be something to be like, oh, yeah. Do y'all got something in the museums? No?
Yeah, I have something in the museums.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I'm very proud of what we've been able to accomplish, and I think especially when people are talking to us, they become even more amazed when they realize what had to work with and the limitations that we had. I mean, 11 days, technically one full pickup day. I think there were 2 other days that Camille and I drove around and filmed some B-roll. That was about it. And then the budget of the film was $200,000, actually. It came out to that with posting $200,000. And then the $20,000 that was over went directly to all this marketing that we've been doing, basically. So a very tiny ass budget.
Very can fucking be done.
Very fucking small. Yeah.
And it's been done. You know, you fucking you did it, Christine. You know, and you've been, and like you said, like you've sort of like raised this film from a little idea to final fucking cut. You know, that's just like that's just an achievement in of itself. But then you even like Christine does, and has to one step her already success. She has to one step even higher with that success of, I'm going to start running these events and literally have a tour for Ursley, you know, in the next few months, you know, get on my level, bitches. Let's go.
No, I'm
it's awesome, Christine.
There's days when I really regret it because I'm so tired, but
then I'll
talk to somebody and they'll be so excited about the film, and they are just, you know, they want to ask questions about everything about the process, and it's magical to them, you know, and that's when you're like, okay, I'm glad I went on this tour, because it's also a way for me to remember to appreciate what we did, you know, too, through someone else's eyes, right?
Yeah. And you also kind of like reinforce that idea of not only you built this, but you kind of like have this now, like you kind of set this precedent for yourself, especially for like future films, that you're going to always think outside the box. And because you have that passion, it will not only play to everything you do, but even outside the film, it will play to everything you do, because that's how 100% you're dedicated to all of this. And this should be okay. And this is also a free podcast too, ladies and gentlemen. This is Film School last 88 fucking episodes, because this is a woman who had literally like came up with the fucking idea in a swimming pool, appropriately, you know, and then it kind of became this. And now she's going to Florida in a few days, and Washington and Oregon. And oh, also she was in Austin in California. It's just like, because you are so invested and so passionate for this film, it only speaks volumes just that by itself. That by itself should lend a huge amount of curiosity in anybody, you know? And the fact that we got to have these podcasts is like truly fucking awesome. And of course, like I can go on and on kissing your ass, thanking you and all that stuff. But thank you. Seriously, thank you for letting me like do this podcast and be silly and dumb for an hour and a half, 2 hours, you know, every week with you, you know, that's kind of like, that means the world to me. And also be part of the fucking film, like be in the art department. Like that's like the most I can cherish and all that shit. So,
I just can't wait for when we're all, this is one big, big, obviously milestone, but yeah, when we're at our next few milestones and we're still doing this, and we could go back and just keep seeing how far we've come. I think that's going to be just, or like, I'm just thinking like if film students, you know, had to study something and this was what they studied, plus with all our funny diary of a podcast, I think they will hopefully learn lots of things.
It was so funny because I was watching a podcast with Kevin Smith, like, and this was like a while ago, and he was like talking with I forgot, it was like another director, forgot who, but basically he was just like, no, I fundamentally agree that anybody can become a filmmaker. Here's how you can become a filmmaker. You have to be in love with the idea for years, maybe to come, before anybody can see this film. You have to be so invested to it that you're literally losing sleep because you're constantly thinking about the idea every single day, this film every single day. And during production, you're not only wearing the director's hat, but you're wearing the producer's hat. You're wearing all sorts of hats. And you are in the editing room. You're literally seeing it from its natural beginnings to its natural end. And you have to be there and embrace it 100% fully. And also the marketing of it all, even outside the film, that film school doesn't even teach you. They're just like, yeah, no, you're going to have to market this film because bitch, you made this, like you're supposed to push this out. This,
you got to put it out. Yeah.
You got to put it out and stuff. And he even said, Kevin, he was like, you got to put yourself out there. And he was like, so if you could do all that, then you could become a filmmaker.
Do you really say that? I want to hear this podcast.
This was a long time. This was back in like 2009, like 2008, like when he first began the podcast. I want to hear
that because I don't think enough people know that. Like,
yeah, they don't
think that you just make the film and then that's it. It's mm-hmm. not. It's not at all.
There's way more to it. It's your life for the next few years until you're done.
Yeah.
And then you move on to the next thing. And that's what he mentioned too. He was like, and you're going to have postpartum depression. What better way as a filmmaker to get over it than start a new project?
to another one.
Exactly. And start the anxiety cycle all over again. A good stress anxiety cycle, you know, but
yeah.
One, ultimately, that Christine sleeps for like 45 seconds a night. But, you know, that's part of it. It's all part of the journey, you know, and people are in it for money or fame or whatever. It's none of that. It is literally none of that. At the end of the day, it's literally all for the fun and love of storytelling in a medium of film.
Yep.
And that's kind of our bread and butter, you know?
Yes. It's for the love of storytelling.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm not going to lie. I'm running out of gas.
Okay.
But we've done this for 52 minutes, so we can. Does anybody have like questions? I think do you think we want to end this then?
Yeah. Unless somebody pops up with a question.
I'm just refreshing the page. No comments, but a bunch of people reached and engaged. I don't know what is up with you, Facebook, and not wanting to ask questions, but how dare you? I mean, for God's sakes, please ask us a question. Drop a comment if you can. And like the stream, please. So, you know, this is a Get Realisms podcast. So we're still the Get Realisms, you know, website, you know, get your book today. We didn't forget where our roots is, and get the t-shirt.
Get Realisms. Yes.
I mean, what are you doing, you guys? Like, we've been doing episodes of this and you guys are killing us and not getting these books. Get your books today. And I don't know if I kept forgetting to mention this even when Kelly was on the podcast, but like I wanted to mention that, like, are y'all still shipping it in those like adorable pink packages too? That's fucking awesome. Get your fucking pink package of goodness, of film goodness, ladies and gentlemen. Like, what are you doing with your lives? You know? So getrealisms.com, ursleyfilm.com for all of your special events and screening needs. The 16th to the 18th, Afro Mermaids in Florida, Miami, Washington, June 24th to the 25th. The International Mermaid Museum and the induction of Ursley's Tale in Aberdeen, Washington. Okay. And then if you can't make that and you're in the Portland area, you're going to get some special screenings at the end of July 29th and 30th. I mean, what more can you ask from Christine and Moth to Flame Films? What do you need? And then also pre-order Ursley, please. We love you.
Yes.
We love you.
Do your watch party. We love you. 14.
Do your watch parties. Your watch party photos. Please send it hashtag
watch party.
Ursley Film Watch Party. And
hashtag Ursley Watch Party.
Oh, just okay. No film. Sorry.
You are fine.
So it's too long. You know me. Anyways, Jude 14th is the release. Please, please share it with all your friends. Come on. I mean, you know, let's get it to the front page. Let's beat Morbius. Please. Yeah, man. That's it. I got a 10-1 horribly bad.
Go
so
to 10-1.
Yeah. Yes. We're gonna do that, ladies and gentlemen. All right, that's it. We're out of here. Facebook and Instagram, thank you so much. We'll catch you on the flip side, hopefully next week. We're not sure. We still are working in the industry, ladies and gentlemen. So anything can happen. Yeah. I could get a job. Chrissy could get a job. And then we're like, fuck, we can't this week. Fuck. You know, but we're going to do our best always, no matter what, to deliver you the goods from the woods with this free podcast called the Get Realist Podcast. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for participating. We love you. Instagram, we love you. Facebook, we love you as well. Thank you so much, everybody.